turned the wrong direction. Oh, wrong direction.
There we go. All right, welcome again. A few other prayer things. I know Tom is on the prayer, but keep him on there. Chris won't tell, but she slopped her dripper, as I like to call the kids if they fall down or something. She slopped her dripper, so her leg's a little painful today. She had a cane yesterday, so pray that she gets healed up as well. And others that's on our list. We've got Shasta and other folks on there. So again, pray for them this week. It's very important. So we'll try to go through this here, but if you want a Christmas one, it's not today. we'll start next week. So we're going to talk about some qualifications. We do have elections and things coming up, but I think this applies to everyone. You know, there's qualifications. The Bible uses terms, you know, we call them different things. Pastors, elders, deacons, trustees, overseers, bishops, shepherds. We've got all kinds of names for them. But I'm used to where I come from. They were elders and deacons. And here, and sometimes I get myself confused because here they're deacons and trustees. So, but in biblical, sometimes they're pastors, sometimes they're elders, overseers, bishops, and then deacons and trustees a lot of time are the same. And you know, when you go out to get a job, they ask for job qualifications. You know, they ask for your experience, your education, you know, get an idea of your talents, your abilities. And there's a lot of things looked at it with job qualifications and job interviews and things. And but we're going to look a little bit today, and again, I think this is just not for pastors and elders and deacons and things. I think we can apply it to everyone, but qualifications for overseers and deacons. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll end up going through verses 1 through 15, but we're going to start out with the first 7 verses today. It says, here is a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall into the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As we go through it today, we just ask for open hearts, open mind, open eyes to see what you have for us today, Lord. And we want to take it personally, what the Spirit has for us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, an overseer is not as much a position as it's a task. It's a work. It's a work to perform for God. It's a work wanted. It's a work that needs to be desired. But you have to ask God about it. It's serious. You have to pray about it a lot. And see if he's really calling you to it. It's not a work for self-satisfaction. It's a work to do to serve God and what he's asking you to do. Although the blessings are pretty great, I gotta say, there's pretty great blessings in it. Yeah, I mean, when you see others come to the Lord or see them grow in the Lord, there isn't anything better. You know, people, to hear him in a better or a new way. You know, I know people here say, well, I don't know if I've heard from him or not. And then to hear them say, I heard from him. And, things that they get that he's talking to them, maybe not in the way they expected, through other manners. But, it's not always going to be an audible voice. It usually isn't with me anyways. A time or two it has, but normally it's not an audible voice I hear. It's the voice of the Spirit inside, or through people you're around, or things that happen in your life. He speaks to you. When you do that, then you feel His presence, and people have felt His presence in here, and I'm grateful for that. I've seen people, you know, get rid of burdens that's been carried on for way too long. Way too long. They've come up here and right here laid them out. And things on their hearts, burdens on their hearts. You know, an invitation, we have it every week for that purpose. I mean, it's going to a lot of churches that don't offer invitations. You know, we always have here. Not that He can't fix it right where you're sitting. He can fix it on the way home. But there's just something to be said for being at the altar. So I encourage you, it's not about anybody else. It's about you and God. And then to see and hear the joy in hearts, it's pretty special. But overseer's a man. That's just the way God planned it. He says some translations, and I'm going to get in, some translations use different words, and honestly better words than the new NIV does. Some say if a man desires the office of bishop, also mentions to be faithful to his wife or a husband of one wife. Again, there's some these days that would argue that point, what a wife even is, but it's a man and a woman. Not ashamed to say, that's the plan. But God has always planned for man to have the authority and the responsibility of spiritual leading. It's an order system He put in place. It's the same way in marriage. It's the same way in the church. It doesn't mean men are better than women. It doesn't mean that at all. Women have an equally important role. It's just the system God put in place, that man should be the head, because they've been given the responsibility and the authority, because they're accountable. We're accountable for God to being the head of the church, being the head, well, Christ is the head of the church, but the head of our household. But we have that responsibility, and we're accountable for God for that. Women have an equally important role. It's just not as the lead spiritual role, but it's a teamwork that God put together to make it orderly. That's God's plan, and you need both. Both have been given separate roles, but they're both very important. And it's the same way with what you would call them, elders, deacons. Each role is important. It's what God wants us to do. And due to failing men, women have stepped up and had to take some of those roles that they weren't really designed to do. But honestly, men have failed to do what they're supposed to do. Who should be an overseer? Well, it just doesn't mean male. If male, being male doesn't qualify you. There's a lot more to it. If you notice what we read, the normal job qualifications don't really matter. You know, they don't ask you what's your experience, what's your education. You know, it's not about those things as much as it's about character. It's about character. All those things may help, your experiences, your ability to speak, and all those things, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is godly character. And I'm going through some of them. It says above reproach. Other ones say blameless. Well, that rules all of us out. I'm not there. If you are, then that's your first mistake. Because you're not. But above reproach and blameless. So it's easy to discount ourselves. But it's not that we're perfect. It's just considered living a righteous life. And people see that by our behavior, by the way we live our life. If we're seen to be living a righteous life, that Christ has counted us as righteous. But are we living that way? Faithful to one wife. Again, some say husband of one wife. You know, back then women were objects. You know, they weren't thought of, hopefully, as much as they are now. I know by some they're still not considered as they should be, but then only men could divorce, and then they could divorce for pretty much any reason they wanted. There was polygamy going on, even amongst the Jewish community. So God's plan always has been one man, one woman together. Some will throw in that, well, and I know a lot of churches, that the divorced man is out. You cannot be an office, you cannot be this, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. We can argue about it or come to a disagreement. I don't believe it says that. You know, we all make mistakes. I think that leaves out grace. You know, if there's a divorce or whatever, you know, it's for whatever reason, you know, there's, you know, it's not good. But each one don't have control over that sometimes. And I think grace supersedes most things. Grace supersedes. So if there's a repentance, grace is given. And I don't think if God gives grace, then we should too. So I do not believe that applies. That's speaking about a divorced person. Temperate. Some also use the word vigilant. So, you know, even keel, not too high, not too low. And vigilant, always watching over the flock. Self-controlled. Also, some go sober-minded. But again, having control over yourself, you know, thinking clearly. And I've talked about that before, you know, that's why when things really get to me, where I don't have trouble with the temperate part, and I don't have trouble with the self-control part. You just got to stop, and you got to pause, and you got to wait a little bit. You know, you got to just let things go for a while before a response in some cases, and or at work or an email exchange. I just can't do it right away. I've got to wait. You know, this is going to wait till after lunch, or this may even wait till tomorrow until I get my thoughts together on how it really should be approached, not how I want to in this moment, but how it should be approached. So pause and wait, I would recommend. Respectable, you know, or some say good behavior. Goes with being orderly, goes with trust, goes with honesty, goes with treating people well. You earn respect. By how you act and being honest and trustworthy in how you treat people. Hospitable. Obviously, most we think of offering people to come into our homes and to share, but I think it's just loving people. It's just loving people, whether they're friends or strangers. That was shown yesterday. So thank you for that. Able to teach, convey biblical truths about according to God and His Word. Not my words, somebody else's words. You know, what people want to hear is according to God's Word. Speak the truth in love and gentleness, but be firm about it, that this is what it says, this is what it is. We can't water it down or pick and choose. It is what it is. Not given to drunkenness. That's good for me because I don't like it. I don't like any of that stuff. It tastes terrible to me. But it's saying, you know, it's not too much of something. Not too much wine. Not too much of this. Don't be an abuser. Don't get yourself influenced by something that clouds your thinking, your thoughts. And of course, back then, wine was sometimes used more than water. It was more accessible. They watered it down, but it was more accessible because clean water was harder to find. So there was a lot of wine that was used back then instead of water due to availability. Gentle, not violent, not quarrelsome. Again, don't take it into your own hands. You know, let God handle it. You know, He's fully capable. Let God handle it. Give it to Him. Be an example. You know, turn the other cheek, as He says. It's okay. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength in Him. Not a lover of money. Well, we should obviously not hoard that all up. We should share it, but I think it's talking about being greedy. Not greedy. Being satisfied with life. Paul says we can be content in all things. It's being other-centered, not self-centered. Manages his own family, his children. You know, there's some experience that comes in there with household authority and showing love and care and discipline as you raise a family. And those things can be seen by pretty much everyone. You know, they see how you act, how your kids act, things. And, you know, children aren't always going to do what you want them to do. You know, whether little or older, they have their own path to follow, but we do what we can do, what God shows us to do. Not a new Christian. Doesn't mean you can't be young. Just says a new Christian needs time for growth and to be rooted in the Word. That milk to meat type transition where you fully understand or understand a lot more. And the Bible says, you know, a new one can get prideful without knowledge and experience and putting that together and thinking they've got it. So they need time. Good reputation with outsiders. You know, we've talked before, character's who you really are. Reputation is who others think you are. It's good if both are the same. It avoids a lot of confusion. And hopefully the good character part comes through. But it's your life and your actions being a testimony. People see that. You know, we're to have the character. We're to be a person that people want to emulate because we're emulating God ourselves. That they see God through us. And that's why people come to you asking you things, Mark and Rochelle. And that's why people will come to you. Because you're showing that quality. So that's overseers, pastors, and elders. How about like deacons and trustees and things? So we'll go on to verse 8 through 13. It says, in the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, you notice it's pretty much the same qualifications. There's not a lot of differences except for the teaching part. That's the biggest difference in the two positions. And that may push people a little more towards the trustee section or the deacon section as I come from, rather than the overseer position. But again, both are equally important to God. You know, God says this is how you need to do it. This is for the church. And the difference is in a little bit of the responsibility. And he threw the wives in there, the women. We all need support of the wives and have to have the backing and support. If you're in either one of these roles, or it's not going to work either. And the wives' character is important as well, just as important. So, you know, they have to be on board or it's not going to work. So James 3:1 even says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So teaching is a huge responsibility that we need to take very seriously. And you see who will be judged the hardest. Out of this group, it'll be me. So never take a position of teaching without a lot of prayer. But I will say if God calls you, He's going to provide what you need to do. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you and help you do God's will. So don't be afraid. Because if he's calling you to do it, he'll take care of the rest. So whatever the office he calls you to, he'll give you the knowledge and the strength to do it, if he's calling you to do it. If we go on verses 14 through the end of the chapter. It says, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing to you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. But Paul wanted to convey instructions for church conduct. And it's to be orderly. Its purpose is to be the foundation for God's truth. It's not that we're the main thing, but we're the foundation to hold up. The foundation holds up the body. It holds up the truth. And we're to hold up God's truth. All the qualifications that we've got there, you know, aren't going to be met. You know, again, none of us are perfect, nor will we ever be on this earth. That doesn't mean God doesn't want us and can't use us. It's just the opposite. You know, if we submit our lives to Him, He can take that mess and He can make something really special that He can use. All of these things are characteristics we all strive for and need to. Being perfect is being matured in Christ, not perfect in everything we do. It's growing in Him, being perfected. So isn't all of those for us? I think we read any qualification that isn't for all of us as a Christian to make us more like God, to have more God in us, to be a representative of God in all we do so that others can see Christ in us and have the desire to want Him as well. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit's in us. There's fruits that come from the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Sound like a lot of the qualifications we just read. So we all have those. Because all qualifications we receive through Christ in our life and being more like Him. If we have those and we're fully in Christ by the Holy Spirit, those will grow. Those will build in us. Don't take being drafted. I know we're probably going to ask people, but I'd rather you be called. Not drafted in what God would have you do for Him. So I want you to pray about it. And I want to see where He takes you. And then whatever that is, be obedient to serve as He asks. And whatever He chooses to ask you to do. You know, when you go to work, it's, you know, what you put in is what you get out of it. You know, the more you put in, the more you get. Well, it's kind of the opposite. It's more the give in. It's more you give in to His will, to Christ, is when you'll get the most out of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You're there, Lord. We thank You that You're in each of us. We pray that we're listening to You. We pray that we're gaining these qualities. We're being perfected. We're being sanctified by You each and every day. That we're growing in You. That it's obvious to others. That it's something that others see in us, Lord. That's, you know, even if we're not trying to obtain something, it's recognized in us, Lord, because of the people we're becoming under You and in You. Father, we just ask You to continue to sanctify us, continue to grow us, continue to have the Holy Spirit to do a work in us where we can be of service to You. Help us to answer whatever calling it is You have on lives, Lord, and have the desire. We just ask You to call, Lord, and we be obedient to the calling. Lord, if there's things people need to get rid of this morning to answer that call, to be peace, Lord, to get rid of constraints that may be holding them back. We just ask that the invitation time is a time for that, and whether it's right where they stand, Lord, right in their seat, or front, Lord, it's between you and them. We just ask you to touch hearts today, just fulfill needs, break down any barriers that causes a difference, Lord, between you and them, between them and others. Let us just show love to others, Lord. We're thankful for yesterday, where we got a chance to do that in a big way. That was special, and you were there. So, Lord, just help us, just again, grow us. Just help us remove those obstacles in our way that keep us from obtaining the fullness of what you want us to be. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.